Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, folks, welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday. Thank you for joining us this morning into the afternoon. We appreciate it as the NFL is on fire, and we try to put it out and extinguish it with whatever we've got. And reports across the league, just to get you up to date, if you missed any of our first 2 hours and you live under a rock and don't do social media, the Chiefs and New England Patriots game has been postponed until further notice. The NFL is looking to Tuesday evening as a potential replacement day for Sunday's game that has now been postponed because Patriots quarterback Cam Newton has tested positive for COVID-19, which we're waiting to hear for any additional positive tests, which I just assume is going to happen at this point. So something to keep your eye on here as the day continues on what has been just a wild day of news from not only around football, but from around the country as well. But let's go back to the Wester Hotline, because joining me now on the Wester Hotline is Scott Gulbranson of Raiders Nation Radio. Scott, thanks for joining me, my friend. I appreciate it. And I guess good morning to you, because it's afternoon here, but it's still morning your time.
It is. I'm actually sitting on my patio. The heat in Las Vegas has gotten to the point where in the mornings we're having a nice 70-degree temperature, so I'm trying to get outside, and we're eagerly awaiting to when we get below triple digits and we can actually maybe put on a sweater for once.
Scott, it's 52 degrees. Is it even 50? Did we break 50 yet this morning? Listen, I love the fall here in Buffalo. I've grown up here, lived here my whole life, so I'm used to it. But that what you just described is sort of my heaven. So forgive me if I sound distracted for the rest of the show. But Scott, first and foremost, I think this is a uniquely fun matchup. Truthfully, part of me wishes that we were seeing the Las Vegas Raiders' full complement of weapons on Sunday, but it looks like for sure the Raiders are going to be without their rookie wide receiver, Bryan Edwards, and could potentially be without Henry Ruggs as well. Talk a little bit about through 2 weeks. It's not like those guys have been fantasy studs and are, you know, really filling the stat sheet, but I got to think that, you know, without having those two guys on the field, that this Raiders offense will look considerably different, even though those guys, like I said, aren't maybe, you know, stuffing the stat sheet early on in the season.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Henry Ruggs, you're talking about the rookie who came out of the combine with the fastest time in the NFL. Just respecting his speed is something that we saw in the first 2 weeks that happened at Carolina when the Raiders went east and beat the Panthers. But then also on the big Monday night game here to open up Allegiant Stadium, you had Henry Ruggs, who had just a few catches and about 40 yards, but he had a key play towards the end of the game where he was on a long pattern, and Derek Carr went to him, and because of his speed, the Saints had to commit a pass interference call, or he would have been gone for a touchdown. So just having the speed on the field, as you know, they have to account for him, and that's a difference maker for the Raiders. So they'll miss that. Although they have a very big full complement of weapons that they will use against the Bills, but you just don't have that breakaway speed, and just the aura around Henry Ruggs coming out of college and what he can do is something that NFL defensive coordinators have kept an eye on and had to respect. So now you don't have that, but you still have Darren Waller, you still have Of course, Hunter Renfro, the hero out of Clemson, who's more of a small slot receiver, but he gets open. So, yeah, they're without those weapons. But as Derek Carr and John Gruden both said this week, they're in no excuses. No one cares. This is the NFL. It's always a next man up philosophy.
Scott, you know, the story will likely, at least here in Buffalo, when this matchup is set to take place tomorrow, a lot of people will go to the quarterback matchup. It's Derek Carr versus Josh Allen, two California kids, two guys that, you know, and Josh Allen, who grew up loving Fresno State, likely watched both Carr brothers there in Fresno State, and a quarterback in Josh Allen who doesn't end up getting an offer there and goes to Wyoming. What do you make of the start of this season for Derek Carr and what I believe to be a really important season for what I think the future has in store for Carr there in Las Vegas? The story has always been that Gruden likes Carr, they like each other, they live next door to each other in Vegas, but I've always gotten the sense, and just because of Gruden's past, it never felt like Carr and him were going to be in the long-term relationship together. Is that the sense you get, and do you get the feeling, too, that this season could be a really important one for the future of Derek Carr in this Raiders organization?
Well, how John Gruden feels about Derek Carr, you know, we heard since the day John Gruden came back in the door for the Raiders as their coach with a 10-year contract, that he wasn't sold on Carr, but we've seen everything go the opposite. You know, it was going to be Kyler Murray. The Raiders are going to move up and draft him. None of that has happened. Of course, they signed Marcus Mariota as a backup, but he was always intended to be a backup and to maybe push Carr, not for the starting job, but just to have another quarterback there to push him, a legitimate quarterback who started in the NFL. But yeah, it is an important year for Derek Carr because Derek Carr has to rise above. He needs to raise the play of his team. And look, Derek Carr, and this is what I've always said about him, he's a very good quarterback. Is he an elite quarterback? I would say no, he's not. He hasn't proven that. But if you put the tools around him, which the Raiders have done, like you said, now they're injured. They have a rash of injuries, including, most importantly, their offensive line. They have not played with a starting offensive line since the third snap of the season. I mean, you have Trent Brown, who they gave a record contract to, who's been out for 2.5 months with a calf injury, and they had a left guard playing right tackle for them the last two games, a true rookie, John Simpson out of Clemson, playing on the left side. So the Raiders have not had that full complement. At the same time, Derek Carr has been very efficient. I mean, if you look at what he did in weeks one and two, it was a great performance on both sides. He's not a guy like Josh Allen who's going to put up 400-some yards and run for 50 and do what Josh Allen's doing because they're just different types of players. But Derek Carr can get the job done. But if for some reason the play is not there this year, I think that they're going to have to make a tough decision. But also, I think in the NFL, Nate, as you know now, you have to develop your next quarterback. You have to do it. It's a quarterback-driven league. The position has changed. And when you see a guy like Josh Allen, who I think is more closely in comparison to a guy who's in the news for all the wrong reasons today, Cam Newton, you have size, you have the arm, you can throw accurately, but you can also run the ball. That's not Derek Carr. He doesn't do a lot with his feet. He's doing enough right now. But clearly, if Derek Carr falters this year, then I think they're going to have to make some tough choices.
Yeah, Scott, it doesn't fall on deaf ears when people describe Derek Carr as a good quarterback who's not elite, but as a guy that can win football games, because I think that's kind of the consensus about him. But at the same time, this is an organization in Las Vegas who makes the move from Oakland, has a billion-dollar stadium, is in this huge market, and it sort of feels like he's just not, and this is going to sound weird, but it just feels like he's not sexy enough to be the guy there. Like Josh Allen to me seems like almost an ideal type quarterback for what they're trying to build in Las Vegas, right? A guy that's flashy, can run the football, is going to throw for 400 yards a game. It's got average, you know, depth of target at 12 plus yards, where we're almost looking at the exact opposite in Derek Carr, which, you know, for me, when Gruden talks about quarterbacks, you see his eyes light up when he talks about arm strength, when he talks about the ability to press the ball down the field, and the athleticism, the traits, right? Like, those are all things that sort of, you know, get Gruden excited, man. You know, like, those are the types of things that get him going, and it just, it certainly is eye-opening to me that it's lasted this long into the regime. And, you know, this is an organization that through the first 2 years with Mayock at the helm, they've drafted pretty well, even though a lot of people might say, well, what the hell are they doing, you know, at last year's draft, like a couple of guys, up this year, the corner that they drafted from Ohio State, whose name is escaping me, right, Arnett, who a lot of people were kind of up in arms wondering why you pick Arnett there, seemed like a reach, but they've got a philosophy and they stick to it. So I guess maybe what this is just a commitment to the what they've got right now. But to your point, the only developmental player they have is Nathan Peterman.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, Nate, here's the thing with the Raiders. You're right. They have a plan. They followed it. They've done very well in the draft. You know, as you know, you're not going to hit on 100% of the players in the draft. Damon Arnett was a guy that I scratched my head on as well. He's now on IR with a thumb injury. He just had surgery. But before that, he showed some really great, great play. I mean, I think he's already proved some people wrong on that one. But remember, this Raiders roster, when John Gruden got there, it had a lot of holes, which is why Khalil Mack was traded. Remember that? I mean, that was the trade that shook the NFL, and people thought Gruden was crazy. But in reality, what that did is that set them up to get players like Damon Arnett, who was, in essence, a draft pick from the Bears for that. They got Josh Jacobs, the running back, one of the brightest running backs in the NFL at this point in his young career. So the Raiders had to do that. But you're right. John Gruden is very hard on quarterbacks. He loves quarterbacks, but he's going to be very hard. If you hear Rich Gannon talk about it, or anybody who's played for John Gruden, they'll tell you the same thing. And I do think I like Derek Carr. I think they can win with Derek Carr. But at the same time, the fact that 3 years into John Gruden's return to the sideline, we're still talking about Derek Carr,
yeah,
I think does say a lot.
Yeah, no doubt about that, Scott. And again, it's not anyone, I don't think, reading tea leaves or anything, but I do think that there is a level of like, okay, you bring in Marcus Mariota, right? Which he's been injured and he hasn't even really been able to press a Derek Carr. But like, I think that was a storyline that people looked around the league and were like, this seems like tea leaves that we're reading here. This seems like a move that says you are one or two bad games away from being replaced. And anytime you bring in a quarterback like Marcus Mariota, that to me indicates that, yes, you're definitely upgrading the backup quarterback position. And to your point, and I think this is a great point about Gruden, is Gruden has always been a quarterback collector, right? Going back to his days where he's got he had Sims, he had Brad Johnson. I mean, he loves to collect them. I don't know that he always loves to commit to one, though.
No, I think that's true, but I do think that if you look at where the Raiders are, they are a team that is in the AFC Western Division, and there's a young man by the name of Patrick Mahomes in this division, and guess what? He's going to be there for a long time, and so you now have to look at how do you beat the Chiefs? If you want to get the clearest path to a Super Bowl championship, you need to win your division so that you can play one less game, and to be able to do that, you've got to beat the Chiefs, and guess what? You're going to have to outscore the Chiefs. I don't care how good your defense is, Chiefs, as you saw with Baltimore last week, you're going to have to outscore them, which means you're going to have playmakers. And at quarterback, I mean, listen, if John Gruden had walked into a different Raiders team that was a quarterback away from being a true contender for a championship, then maybe Derek Carr would already be gone. I don't know. I think, again, he's committed to Derek Carr, but just like the rest of the NFL, you're committed to a player as long as you need to be. But Mike Mayock, the GM, has said repeatedly, it doesn't matter what position, who the player is, we are always looking to get better at every position. And I think that's what will happen. I mean, look, Derek Carr, if he wins this year and he takes them to the playoffs, great. But is he the quarterback to get you to the next step? We'll have to see, because he hasn't had the opportunity. He's not even played in the playoff game. You know, remember, he in 2016, when the Raiders made the playoffs, he broke his leg the last game of the season, so he was not able to go in the playoffs. So he has not been able to see playoffs. But he's got to beat the Chiefs. I think this year, if he can beat the Chiefs, that'll go a long way in maybe securing a little more future here for him in Las Vegas.
Scott Gulbranson here of the Raider Nation Radio on the Wester Hotline. Scott, before I let you go, I've got to ask you a little bit about this Raiders defense. Obviously, the middle linebacker, or the linebacker position, Corey Littleton and Nick Kwiatkowski, Nick has been on the injury list. He is listed, I believe, as questionable for this game. What have you seen from those two linebackers? They were kind of the two key free agent additions that were supposed to fix sort of the leakiness of that defense. They're still very young in the backside, still very young up front, but that was supposed to sort of be the one position of strength for this defense, but injuries have sort of derailed that early, no?
That's correct. Yeah, but Kutkowski, he's been out with a pectoral injury since the first game, so we haven't really seen what he's been able to do. But he's the thumper. He's the green dot in that middle, in that linebacking core. Then Corey Littleton has been there, and frankly, Corey Littleton has been disappointing. I mean, he's a guy who is pretty much, I think, reliant on having a guy next to him play. So with Kutkowski coming back this week, which I have a 90% confidence level that you'll see Kutkowski out there for the Raiders along with Littleton. Littleton does much more of the pass defense piece of the linebacking core. So I think if he's there and he's got Kutkowski there as his thumper, he'll do much better. But even he has acknowledged that he's not played up to his standards, and that's why the Raiders are getting run all over. But also the defensive front, you know, they went out and they signed Malik Collins away from the Cowboys, a guy that during the shortened camp they called the straw that stirs the drink. He's really done nothing. And then you have Clee Farrell from last year's draft class, went number 4 overall. He's underperformed a little bit. He's gotten better, but he's just not gotten home, not gotten in on the quarterback. And then Mo Hurst, the three-year player over there. Now, Max Crosby, of course, was the story of the year in the NFL last year with 10 sacks. He's been good, but he's getting double-teamed now, so the other guys have to pick up the slack. They've been unable to do that. If the Raiders are to hang with the Bills and make it a close game, they're going to have to get a better performance out of all levels of that defense.
All right, Scott, appreciate your availability, my friend. Thanks for talking Bills Raiders for me. We appreciate it. Tell the folks where they can find you and your work.
You can check us out. We are Raider Nation Radio, which is the flagship station for the Raiders here in Las Vegas. You can also check out our website, silverandblacktoday.com, as well.
Awesome, brother. Appreciate you, as always, and good luck tomorrow. Enjoy the game.
Thanks, and have a great weekend.
You as well. Scott Gobranson there of Raider Nation Radio on the Wester Hotline. We are going to take a quick pivot here and get into some Preakness talk. So Todd Height from Batavia Downs, he's set to join us here in just one moment. I'll let Corey do his work as we're sort of looking at storylines across the NFL. Today, obviously, a lot has been made of the Cam Newton situation. And just a quick update there from what I'm seeing on Twitter, the postponement is set for Tuesday as long as there are no additional positive tests. As Corey and I have been speculating, again, it's speculation, it almost seems like that would be impossible that there wouldn't be additional positive tests. So something to keep an eye on here over the next 24 hours to really see what ends up happening, because my guess is if the Chiefs and Patriots can't get this thing rescheduled this week, there is going to be a domino effect in terms of whether or not the league is going to be able to really not postpone any playoff games or move the Super Bowl back. It almost seems inevitable at this point that the playoffs and Super Bowl are potentially going to get pushed back. It really just doesn't seem like that's something that the NFL can maintain while more teams deal with COVID-19. So this is an evolving situation in the NFL. So keep it here at WGR 550 all afternoon. Even after I get off the radio, you'll get ESPN Radio back on, and then as well as our WGR550.com and our WGR Twitter page. But Todd Height now joins me on the Wester Hotline to talk some Preakness action. Todd, how are you, my friend?
I'm very well. How are you?
No complaints on my end, other than it's been quite a wacky day, to say the least, around the country, the world of sports, you name it. Having said that, let's just keep along with the craziness as the Preakness is today. So let's not waste any more time. First and foremost, today a 5:36 post time. Talk to me a little bit about what we're seeing weather wise in Baltimore, and maybe who that leads you to believe has some of the best chances today in the Preakness?
Well, Pimlico Racecourse, which is located in Baltimore, it's a beautiful day. It's sunshine, 68 degrees. It's not too hot for horses, especially the mares, and there is a filly in this race, which we should talk about, Swiss Skydiver. They don't like extremely hot weather, so she doesn't have to worry about that. So as long as the racetrack continues to play fair, all 11 horses, 10 males, 1 female, should have an equal opportunity chance.
So let's talk about some of these specific horses heading into the day today, and let's start with Art Collector, who was scratched from the Derby on the Tuesday before the race due to a foot injury, but back after 3 excellent workouts since. Thoughts on Art Collector heading into the Preakness?
Well, you've done your homework because you're absolutely right. He has worked spectacular since being scratched from the Derby. Now, he would have been the second favorite in the Kentucky Derby, only behind Tis the Law. And what I really like about Art Collector is this is not normal for racehorses. Most don't get faster as the distances get longer, but that's not the case with Art Collector. Since he's went a route of ground around two turns, which today's race is two turns, he has clearly improved, and to me, he is the horse to beat. Now, he has bucked the best competition, winning the Ellis Park Derby, the Bluegrass Stakes, not like it used to be, but nevertheless, it's not his fault. He's taken on all challengers. He's won easy, and to me, and the last I saw, he was the favorite over Authentic. He is the horse to beat this afternoon.
All right, well, let's make you do your job then, Todd, here. Tell us about some long shots you like. I don't want to keep feeding you the good stuff. Who do you got for long shots as we head into race day?
Well, you know, there is a possibility that they may go faster early in this race than they did in the Kentucky Derby. Now, Authentic, he was basically handed the lead on a silver platter. Nobody wanted the front. Johnny Velasquez just glided him up there. He had plenty left for the stretch drive. He braced for the challenge of Tis the Law, and he easily held him off. That may not be the case this afternoon. You're talking about Art Collector can be forwardly placed. He's not going to be too far back. New York Traffic, he may be closer than he was. Thousand Words, the other Bob Baffert horse. He went wire to wire last time. The filly Swiss Skydiver, she has tactical speed. So to me, it looks like you're going to have to look for some of these off-the-pace horses that are gigantic prices. One of those horses may be Pneumatic, number 10, with Joe Bravo. Now, he was in the Belmont. He raced fine. He was only beaten seven lengths. He had a wide trip. He came back, won a minor stake very easily. He may have got his confidence back. Joe Bravo, a very underrated rider. He's won thousands of races. Here's a horse that could be in the right spot. If you're really looking for a gigantic long shot, it would be the 8 Max Player. Now, he's a one-dimensional closer, and he just closes up too late. He always has run at the wire, but he never gets there. They're switching this afternoon to a kid named Paco Lopez. He's a very aggressive rider. He will keep Max Player much closer to the pace than normal, and if he still has that late kick at 25-1, to me, the best long shots are the 8 Max Player, the 10 Pneumatic.
All right, Todd, your picks for today for the folks who may be considering a trip down to either to BataviaBets.com or their Western New York OTB.
That's right, and you can wager right until the last horse goes off at the gate, which is, as you said, 5:36. I love the way Art Collector has been working. He's been so strong in the morning that the exercise rider, it's a female, she weighs about 150 pounds. She cannot even pull this horse up after the workout. That's how good this horse is feeling. So I'm just going to take some exactas. I'm going to reverse my exactas. I'm going to play the 3 Art Collector with the 4 Swiss Skydiver. I'm also going to use the 8 Max Player, that gigantic price that you have to use the 9 Authentic. Keep in mind with Authentic, trained by Bob Baffert. Bob Baffert has won 5 Kentucky Derbies. All 5 of those winners have come back and won the Preakness. Now, that's on 2 weeks rest. This is 4 weeks rest. We'll see if that makes a difference. And I'm also going to play the 10 Pneumatic. So I'm playing 3-4, 3-8, 3-9, and 3-10. And I kind of learned my lesson in the Derby when I gave out the 17-18, and it came out 18-17. After 50 years of playing the horses, maybe I should start reversing my exactas. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make these all exacta boxes.
Good news, Todd. All branches opened at 10:30 this morning for Western New York OTB. The first race was at 11 a.m. Races continue on through the afternoon until that 5:36 post time for the main race this afternoon. Todd, anything else that we missed that maybe you want to add in before we head off for the day?
Just want to mention we have live racing at 6 p.m. tonight, and you can watch, wager, and win at any OTB, any Easy Bet, or right online at BataviaBets.com, where we have a fabulous rewards program going on right now. You truly get paid to play when you wager through BataviaBets.com.
Awesome, Todd. Appreciate you as always, my friend. Enjoy the race this evening, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Take care.
Awesome. Todd Height there from Batavia Down. So what a day of sports that we do have ahead of us. College football, the NBA Finals continue on this weekend. Obviously, a slate of games tomorrow on Sunday for the NFL, with the NHL wrapping up last weekend or during the week as well. By the way, while we've got your ear, can we talk about now how disappointing it looks on the Tampa Bay Lightning for how they celebrated that Stanley Cup? Can we just mention that we should expect more? I know. Listen, you want a Stanley Cup, you want to celebrate with your community, you want it to be as normal as possible. but you just came from a bubble of which you could not leave in order to play. And what's the first thing you do is you go out not wearing masks, pouring drinks from the Stanley Cup into strangers who you have no idea who they've been around. It just, to me, seems incredibly, incredibly irresponsible from the Tampa Bay. I mean, we see a picture of John Cooper coming out of the bus with the Stanley Cup with no mask on, no social distancing guidelines. We got to be better, and we've got to demand more from the people that are in the spotlight. We're watching as the NFL is literally in shambles today, and we're talking about teams and players that are likely doing a good enough job of doing all of those things, social distancing, contact tracing, everything else. We want to enjoy. We want life to go back to normal. There's no doubt about it. But, man, we need to expect more. We need to require more from the people in these positions because all of us want to watch sports well into the wintertime. And if we can't get this under control, less and less opportunities for that to happen. So just a quick note there on that one. Anyways, we are going to go to Sean McDermott next. So Sean McDermott, who met with the media as always this week, we're going to hear from Sean coming up here on WGR, so you can do that. And of course, if you missed any of the previous program, we had Scott Gulbranson from Raider Nation Radio. We had Joe Marino of Locked On Bills and the Draft Network. We had Ryan Talbot of New York Upstate, Sal Capaccio, and of course, Evan Silva. So we had a full slate today. If you missed any of that, go to WGR550.com. Check us out on the web. And yeah, so we'll hear from Sean McDermott. That's coming up next here on Sports Talk Saturday on WGR. We are Nick Geary here. We are bringing Sean McDermott, who met with the media.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This week, and here's Sean.
How common is it as a coach in your time that there are parts of the season where you do have to readdress and go basically back down to focusing on fundamentals?
Yeah, I mean, it's the name of the game. And when you get too far away from it, it rears its ugly head, right? And you have to continually teach John and reteach to continue to polish. And if for nothing else, to continue to keep it in the forefront of athletes' minds in this case, right? You go back and say, to give you an analogy, if you got up every morning and you know it's important to brush your teeth, right? And then you go 20 some years of doing it, and then for some reason you start not doing it, you're going to have a cavity or two at some point, right? Just give it time. And that's just kind of to paint the picture of how it works. And you got to continually teach, continually reteach, double down on the fundamentals. And I found that to be the case not only in football, but in life. And anything you want to do and do it well, there's got to be a good foundation of fundamentals with it.
And you'd mentioned also how, while not using it as an excuse, it is a reality. There are some new guys on that defensive front. Is it a matter of continuity, or what is it that needs to be done to, you know, get them on the same page? And I believe you said something like understand how we play in this system.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of it's all of the above, really. It's continually finding out who we are with some of these new pieces, and I believe that's the case every year, in particular because of the shorter run of this season. And it's guys understanding again how the system works and the philosophy around the system, and then the back end and the front end working together to complement one another. So I think there's a lot that goes into it. And I found it interesting that, around the league, the scoring's up, which is interesting as well to boot. So, again, no excuse, just something we have to continue to work on.
Thanks.
Sure.
Hey, Sean, I know John Brown got back to practice yesterday. I was curious how he came through and what his outlook for the weekend might be.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see for the weekend. I thought yesterday he did some good things. So I'm anticipating him being available. Just don't want to say for sure right now, Joe, until I know after today.
Yeah, and similarly with Zach Moss, he got a couple of limited sessions in. What is he trending in the right direction as well for the weekend?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think he is. I just don't know for sure. I got to take a better look today. And I'd say the same for all those guys.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, Sean, it's Jay with the Buffalo News. How you doing?
Good, Jay. How are you?
Good. Wanted to ask you about an issue from last week's game. It seemed like there were a number of players who lost their footing on the turf. Did you happen to notice that at all? And is that maybe any concern of all at all of yours?
Yeah, we did notice that, Jay, to your point. It's something that we've followed up on here and it's being addressed. Separate of playing the Raiders, I acknowledge that that's something that was picked up on during and after the game, and it's something we're following up on.
There, and also the NFLPA president, J.C. Treader, this week called for all teams to go to grass fields based on injury rates. Are you in favor of grass fields? Do you have a preference, or is that something that you haven't really concerned yourself with?
Yeah, I'm more concerned right now with the Raiders, Jay, honestly, with all due respect to your question. And whether I like grass, turf, what have you, is not really important right now.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, Sean. Obviously, Josh was named AFC Offensive Player of the Month yesterday. I mean, can you just kind of put that into context and what that means in your own words?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a tremendous award. It's a team award, and Josh would be the first to acknowledge that. I really appreciate his mindset around it, and that he's focused on the Raiders, and that he knows that there's better football even in him, right? And so, as well as he's played at times, we have to continue to grow each and every one of us, and Josh is a big leader in that area.
He's talked a lot over these last few years about developing and, you know, the struggles that he's gone through learning and trying to get up to speed at certain points of his career. And I think about us and, like, in our daily lives when we get frustrated with certain things, just how you react to it. Maybe, you know, just, I don't want to do that anymore. Have you noticed, like, over the course of his career, like, growth from a maturity perspective year to year?
Absolutely. I think that's what you want to see. You want to see players. You don't expect them to come in. Very rarely do they come in their early 20s and rookie year, and they're all the way up here in all those areas. So it's natural to expect, and it's encouraging to see the way he's developed in that regard, and both on and off the field. And it's been fun to watch. Honestly, he's a neat guy, and to me, a guy that really fits in Buffalo. And that was part of the evaluation of the group of quarterbacks that we looked at when Josh came out. So I just think it's a great fit for the city. And I think he really personifies what Buffalo and Western New York's all about.
Thanks, Sean.
Coach, good morning. Mookie Harkins, Waffle Sports 1080. How you doing, sir?
Good, Mookie. How are you?
I'm good, man. And a lot of people, I'm not quite sure, Coach, if they understand the day in and day out operation of a head coach, how he has to really manage his team, you know, just getting them prepared for battle, you know, guys dealing with injuries and, you know, during trying to get them to recover. So, like, you know, what's it like, you know, just getting your team prepared for battle on a week to week?
Well, there's a lot of that goes into it, right? There's a lot that goes into it. I have a lot of staff, a good staff around me that really do a great job with communicating. They're very detailed. They want to be the best, and I think that's a great start, right? Mm-hmm. They're selfless in their approach, and they put the team first. So, I mean, you're only as good as your people, and I believe in that wholeheartedly. So we've got a good group of people, and none of us are perfect, but we have to continue to work together. And we've done a good job to this point, and I just really appreciate that.
Absolutely, Coach. And so what's the feeling, man? What's your assessment on this week in your team? And are they fit? Are you confident enough that they're prepared to go to battle the way you want them to?
Well, we got another day of practice today and then tomorrow before we leave. So this will be our second road trip. And I think, you know, I'm confident in my guys. I'm confident in our staff. And we've had a good week to this point. It certainly hasn't been to the point where we're ready yet, but we've got a couple more days, including today, to go out there and continue to sharpen.
That's right. You want to make sure that first quarter of the season, man, you guys are 4-0. So you're on a good pace, Coach. Good luck this week.
All right. Thanks, Mookie. I appreciate it.
Hi, Sean. Matt Fairburn here. You kind of mentioned there the, you know, having the confidence in the people around you. What's your confidence level, I guess, in Leslie Frazier as your play caller? I know in the past you've taken those duties, but it seems like you guys got on the same page and kind of, you know, you work in tandem so much, obviously, with you being a defensive guy. Just what's your thoughts on the play calling and kind of how you guys are working through that?
Well, Leslie does a tremendous job. I think, you know, as we look at what he's been able to do over the course of his career, the experience he has, his foundation and where he got it from, he's a tremendous pro in his approach, and he's well respected with our players. You know, I'm very confident in Leslie, and I think one day he'll be a head coach again in this league. You know, I just love the way he approaches things, how he coordinates the staff, you know, he and I together, I've learned a lot from him, and I'd use him a lot in terms of his experience as an ex-head coach as well.
More from head coach Sean McDermott after a quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Talk Saturday on WGR. Welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR. Back to head coach Sean McDermott.
I know there's probably too much attention put on who's the one actually calling the plays, but to the extent that you're comfortable, what is the process during the week to make sure that you guys are kind of on the same page and that he's sort of an extension of you, I guess, on Sunday in some ways?
Yeah, I mean, I think just the process that goes into it is an important piece. You know, we talk, we communicate during the week, and at the end of the day, Leslie calls the defenses, and that's where we go. And, you know, I'll offer some recommendations from time to time, but the majority of the time, Leslie's calling the defenses.
Cool. Thanks, Sean.
Sure.
Hi, Sean.
Hi, Vic.
So I'm going to keep this question in the frame of preparing where your head is, preparing for a game Sunday, but I think it's applicable. So the Titans – Adam Schefter just reported within the last little bit, a couple of more players testing positive for them. We know the whole story about, you know, the postponement of their game and all that with Pittsburgh. In an overarching sense, every day you and the others, you said the professionals in your building have a lot to think about in keeping your team safe and preventing what's happened to another team. When you see this, how does it affect the approach? Like, do you have to, does it serve as a caution, the additional cautionary tale, as if you needed another one, to kind of regroup and say, we've got to make sure this is tight? Or, and has it increased your concerns that maybe, you know, our time is going to happen at some point, just like with other teams?
Yeah, I mean, I think all those thoughts are real, right, Vic? And I wouldn't be human if I didn't have those thoughts in my mind. You know, that said, it's a gentle reminder, I guess, when it's not happening to us, that it's still around and we can't get, I'll use the words, too comfortable. And because it hasn't happened to us or before this past week, hadn't happened really too much in the preceding weeks around the NFL, that we can afford to let our guard down. And I think I hate to see it happen to anyone, because at the end of the day, even though we compete with one another, we're all human here. So, but I think it's something we can learn from, and it is a general reminder for us of, hey, don't take this for granted. Let's not get too comfortable and let our guard down. We've got to make sure we remain diligent in our approach and consistent with our approach.
And as a follow-up, Sean, all those things you say about don't let guard down, you know, just keep on track to do the best you can. Do you ever feel, because your primary concern as a coach is to do that, prepare your team to win games, in any way, do you ever question whether it compromises at some level that, like, your day-to-day function of doing the thing that you know you're tasked to do, but know that, you know, this is out there. Does it get in the way of that at any point, or the thoughts or the preparation or whatever?
Well, number one is always health and safety of our entire building. That's number one. And I think Terry and Kim do a great job of modeling that. Number two is winning games, and in that order. And as long as I'm the head coach, that will always remain in that order. And I think that's the right way to do it. We've got to make sure that we can be healthy first and then try and win games second. You know, I'd be lying if I said it's not an added challenge. It is, in terms of the COVID this year. But as competitors, we're wired that way to be mentally tough, and there's always challenges. And for me growing up as a wrestler, growing up in the family I grew up in, mental toughness was taught, was preached. And I think that's an important life skill. And I'm not perfect either, but that's where, when you have a good team around you, people that support you and we're all accountable to one another, I think it helps, right? And these are not easy times for anyone, let alone trying to win games in the midst of the COVID. Again, my heart goes out to the Titans and all the people that are impacted over there. But we have to focus on our situation. Certainly, like I said, acknowledge what we can learn from theirs and then try and beat the Raiders this weekend.
All right, that was Bills head coach Sean McDermott. I'm Nate Geary. That's Corey Griswold. Thanks again to all of our slate of guests today. That was featuring Scott Gulbrandsen of Raider Nation Radio. Thanks again to Joe Marino of Locked On Bills and the Draft Network. Thanks to Sal Capaccio earlier this morning, Evan Silva, Ryan Talbot, and of course, Todd Height of Batavia Downs. A full slate. If you missed any, go to WGR550.com on-demand audio. Pre-game coverage of Bills Radio starts here tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern, here on WGR. So check with us at Bills 425 kickoff between the Bills and Raiders. Of course, you can hear on our flagship station, WGR Sports Radio 550. So for me, Nate Geary, and for Corey Griswold, we appreciate you hanging out with us today on this Saturday afternoon on Sports Talk Saturday on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.